Welcome to Let's Talk EI with Dr. Hank Clemens. This is an open forum to discuss all things emotional intelligence. So call and share your thoughts and ideas at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Now, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to everyone out there in Let's Talk EI land. What a great day it is. It's nice and chilly and, well, just up my alley, as you might say. I'm Dr. Hank, the founder and host and, dishwasher and trash carry out person for the Society of Emotional Intelligence. Actually, I do it all. At least that's what I feel sometimes. But no, I actually have a whole, a great network of chapters that really helps SOEI grow and develop and everything. So welcome, everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk EI. Let's Talk EI is really an internet radio show that's designed to spread the word and introduce the listeners to, well, everything that there is to know or everything that you ever wanted to know about emotional intelligence. I'm Dr. Hank, and my role is, to have guests, to have people come in and share their thoughts and ideas. We have a great guest today. Guest is going to be with us shortly, and I'm going to introduce him and tell you a whole bunch of information about him. But first, I just wanted to just kind of share a few things because I'm still reverberating from the conference, our fourth annual conference that we had October 18 and 19 here in Tampa, Florida. So I'm just really excited about that. And so one of the very, very first things that I want to do is really thank the sponsors and exhibitors who were at the conference. I also want to thank all of the chairs that came in from as far as away as the Pacific Northwest be a part of and to help out at the conference. But also I want to thank the volunteers that were there, you know, to help out. Because if it wasn't for all of you, well, the conference would not have been the big success it was. I mean, from my standpoint and from the feedback that we got from a lot of people, it was the best ever. I'm going to share more about that conference a little bit later after our guest. But we're not going to keep our guest waiting because actually, our guest has been waiting for at least, I'm going to call it 2 or 3 months now. Our guest today is Steve Whitford. I'm going to say Whitford, and if it's Whiteford, he's going to clarify that as soon as he comes on. But let me say good morning to Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be talking to the chief cook and bottle washer. And actually, I did grow up being called Whitford, and it's actually Whiteford, but I appreciate your making that distinction.
Okay, fantastic. No, it's great for you to be on with us this morning. I really appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I like to do is have a little fun when we are doing radio interviews and talking and things like that. So it's not as if we're going to be in front of 10,000 people and all rigid as if we're in one of those, what do they call them? Well, the heck with what they call them. This is supposed to be free-flowing, so I just want to let you relax. I'm going to relax, and if I sound like I'm having fun, that's because I am. I really enjoy sharing and talking about emotional intelligence. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you. That's terrific. I hope to join you in that. Sometimes I think talking to 10,000 people can be easier, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we're hoping that the radio show itself reaches 10,000 or more. And actually, I do get some numbers back on those from the show itself, you know, to let me know, you know, how many listeners that we have out there. And one of the things that I do want to say, and that is that it seems to continue to grow each month. The show has only been around for a little more than a year, so it's still growing in, one, popularity, but also it's still growing in familiarity. People are just beginning to hear about it and know about it. So, again, thanks for being the guest. Now, before we go too far, I want to introduce you, and I want to introduce you properly because you had sent me some information that I was really just amazed by. So you mind if I share this with the listening audience, Steve?
Please do.
Okay. Well, Steve has over 25 years of experience as a corporate trainer and coach. Now, he specializes in coaching business professionals and leading workshops in leadership development, EI, or emotional intelligence, the MBTI, or the Myers-Briggs temperament inventory. I like to always clarify what MBTI is. Sometimes people go, MBTI, what's that? And so you can tell us a little bit more about that, Steve. He also does a lot of presentations. He does stuff around constructive conflict, team building, and a broad array of related communication skills. Most of it is based in neuroscience and proven practices, and he leads clients to greatly increase openness, powerful and effective communication, and it's embodied in leadership. He's designed and conducted scores, not just a few, but scores of successful workshops for a great variety of companies across many industries. And his background includes subcontracting for major training firms, consulting in career development, and directing and narrating corporate videos, it says segments producing for PM Magazine. Oh, wow. And performers for stage, film, and television. He holds a certification in the EQI 2.0 and 360, the Myers-Briggs Temperament Indicator, and Results Coaching. He's also worked as a consultant, trainer for major outplacement firms. I'm going to ask him about a few of those and see if he's willing to share who some of those firms are. And he has several articles and interviews, and he's been featured in The Bulletin of Psychological Type, Entrepreneur, TWA's Ambassador, Training and Development Journal, Idea Magazine, Air America Radio, and many of the local businesses association newsletters in and around the area from which he lives and does most of his work. So again, Steve, thank you for taking time out today. And with all of the things that it says here that you're involved in, how could you find time to spend with us on Let's Talk EI?
I think it's a wonderful forum. I've listened to some of the programs. I have really great people on, and I also think it's a great opportunity. I like to take time to talk about emotional intelligence in particular, and so I'm just happy to be talking with you today.
Oh, great. Oh, thanks for that. You know, I was intrigued when I first got your response because it said that you were certified in the EQI 2.0. What prompted you to seek certification in the EQI 2.0?
Well, it was really pretty simple. I got very interested after reading Daniel Goleman's Primal Leadership back in about 2002. I'd read Emotional Intelligence before that, but Primal Leadership really made a great case for the science behind work I'd been doing for about 10 years at that point, which was teaching communication and executive presence and also leadership. And what I realized was that emotional intelligence was a very deep and wide container for many kinds of training, from communication 101 through C-level leadership skills. I think I've heard you say, Hank, that emotional intelligence really has something for everyone, and I absolutely believe that. I also love Goldman. Yeah?
No, I was going to say, yeah, I am a firm believer in that, and I was going to say one of the things that I often challenge people to do is to give me a job where emotional intelligence is not used, or where we would not use emotional intelligence. So far, nobody's been able to come up with one.
That's right. It's really all-encompassing. That would be pretty hard to do because our emotions drive everything we do. So when we put focus on emotional intelligence, we're really talking about the whole person and how that person functions really in any situation and right up to the level of society itself.
Right. So here's a tough question for you, and I'm calling it tough because it must be tough because it appears that we don't have enough people that apply or use emotional intelligence. Now, we know we have a lot of people that know about emotional intelligence because, you know, as you mentioned, Goldman's book and maybe Salovey and Mayer's writing, Caruso's work and Rachel Green's work and a whole bunch of other people have done a lot of writing around emotional intelligence. That being the case, why do you think few people apply emotional intelligence?
I think that's a really wonderful question. And it ties into, I think, one of the things that most excited me in Goldman's books, and that was the way he brought the discoveries of neuroscience into play.
Okay.
And the way the brain is constructed and the way we've evolved, there are a lot of brain functions that come into communication and survival and just how we are in the world that aren't truly wired to express what we would call emotional intelligence first. So a lot of that innate wiring has to do with survival. It's really rooted in that aspect of evolution of human beings. So some of our first responses in many situations, unless we become particularly aware of how the mind works, are toward defense.
Okay.
And competition in a negative way and overcoming an enemy, which I think by this time, with all of our technology and all the advances we've made as a species, is beginning to be just a little bit outmoded. But it's still
okay.
Definitely the structure that we're working with.
Okay. I'm going to say it this way, and this is certainly I'm making it simplistic in not being a neuroscientist, but so our first reaction is to either fight or flight when we are confronted with the situation rather than think. So therefore, we as a species or as people, when we encounter a situation, rather than thinking about it first, it's an automatic reaction to either defend or fight or get away from it. And so we have to overcome those two things, or we have to overcome either one of those things before we can apply the emotional intelligence to us, to that particular situation. Is that kind of like what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Working with a very strong awareness of those impulses and, you know, we haven't talked about the EQI 2.0 model yet, but I think really the basis of emotional intelligence, the thing that allows you to begin to make progress in how you react to things and how you intend things, is becoming very attuned to emotional self-awareness. So that
okay.
when we feel an impulse for defense, or to run. And then Stephen Porges, who's another neuroscientist, also talks a lot about the freeze aspect as a built-in response as well.
Right.
When we feel any of those particular things, if we are aware of it, if we give it, you know, maybe a second and a half of our attention and really have that feeling, that then allows us to make a different choice. So I
yeah.
think you took me right to the bottom line.
I didn't mean to go there.
As talk about now, Hank. I think we're done. You took me to the bottom line. But really, I think that one aspect of emotional self-awareness is the thing that gives us the most capacity to change, and I'll use the word evolve. And without that, we haven't really even made a beginning. So that's extremely important.
Okay. Steve, we're at a break point here. So, you know, one of the things is the sponsor sometimes says, you know, it's time to take a break. So that's what they're signaling. So why don't we take a break? Can you stay with us until after the break?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. We'll be right back right after this.
Now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
And welcome back, and thanks for being with us. We have Steve Whitford with us today. Oh, geez, now I think I messed it up. I think he said Whiteford, so I'm going to have to ask him again. But we have Steve with us today, and he's sharing with us emotional intelligence and honing leadership. Emotional intelligence and honing leadership. And we've just been talking about, one, what prompted him to get certified in the EQI 2.0, and he shared that with us. But we were also having what I consider some fascinating discussion around neuroscience and the role that neuroscience has played in his work. So, Steve, go ahead, continue.
Continue. Okay. Well, we're talking about neuroscience, so I don't have my charts and graphs to show on the radio, but I might be able to give a description. One of the terms that Goleman used in primal leadership was the term of an amygdala hijack.
Okay.
And the amygdala is a part of the brain that is slightly forward of midbrain, and it's just like a walnut. And that's the part of our limbic system, which is the emotional part of the brain that is very tied into our survival. And that sort of underlies the idea that that's how important our feelings are in everything that we do. It was tied into survival.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The amygdala is the little piece of the brain that tends to look out in the world and try to determine if there's a threat out there. So if you're walking down the street, maybe a couple of blocks from me, and I'm watching you come toward me, it's an automatic response for part of my brain to wonder if there's any threat. And you may be thinking the same thing about me.
Okay.
And so we're trying to determine, you know, am I going to be lunch or what's going on here in this transaction? And that's pretty much a constant function of the brain. And it's very subtle, especially as we evolve, as we become more aware, as we become more emotionally intelligent, it just gets more and more subtle. Now, the balancer that we have for that evolved in the brain after the limbic system, and that's the prefrontal cortex.
Okay.
And the prefrontal cortex is sort of the executive character of the brain. So it has the ability not only to perceive outside, but to perceive what's going on inside of us and inside our brain. So there's a constant possibility for regulation between the limbic system, the amygdala, and the prefrontal cortex. So that's the part that allows us to go, wait a minute, you know, I'm walking down a really pretty street here. That guy looks like a nice guy. Why did I just tense up a little bit because somebody's walking directly toward me? Let's make sense out of this. And then it gives us the opportunity to make a different choice about how we think or how we feel in a particular situation.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
And in terms of working with executives in organizations in particular, that factor also plays very strongly into decision making. And Daniel Kahneman did a neuroscience book recently called Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow. And okay. Once again, in that book, this interaction between the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex is highlighted as playing a very big part in decisions. One of the aspects that we look at when we use EQI 2.0 is impulse control.
Correct.
That's one of the factors of emotional intelligence. And that is really one of the biggest derailers of executives in organizations is having lower impulse control. And, actually every component of EQI 2.0 can sort of have a low range, a mid range, and a high or a very strong range. The high range is not always good. So in an executive case, if they have low impulse control, it can be problematic. And if they have very high impulse control, then they may have that thing that we call analysis paralysis. So that same interaction between the two vital parts of the brain affects things at the level of the bottom line. And then in addition to that, it also plays into the idea that one of the things that David Rock reported in his neuroscience work is the idea that just having a really strong focus on a goal or a real strong drive to get something done dampens down the quality of empathy. And so when we're looking at that, it's pretty much the same brain structure, because you've got the executive driver, the prefrontal cortex, really pushing to get that work done. And then you've got the amygdala kicked in, being very, very threat aware as to what might interrupt that process.
Yeah,
and in that, the other feeling aspects pretty much drop out. And we start paying less attention to interpersonal relationship and really engaging people in the workplace through that relationship.
Well, when I'm hearing this, and it's really enlightening, and thanks for sharing that, one of the things that I think about is the general workforce or the general workplace. Let's say we want them to use their emotional intelligence in their day-to-day work. But the one thing that, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just making a statement here. The one thing that might happen is they're not going to be into how the brain works and the neuroscience and things like that. They just want to jump right into how do they use their emotional intelligence. So now we are at a point of not giving them the pre-stuff, the neuroscience stuff, but just the application stuff, the using stuff, which is often what Salovey and Mayer talks about, the ability model that they talk about.
Right.
So how do they sort of jump to the ability to do these things without maybe having a grounding of the fundamentals, if you will, on how the brain works?
Well, what I find in workshops, and one of the reasons that I love the neuroscience piece, and this also works on one-on-one, is that it really gets people's attention.
Yes.
As I mentioned, when EI came into my awareness, I'd been training for 10 years, and I'd been doing things like presentation and executive presence and conflicts, some leadership stuff, and that was often written off as sort of, I guess terms came up like flavor of the month or the vision thing. And there was a real cynicism about embracing change because so many models had been thrown at people. And I think that was one of the reasons that EI really caught my attention because, as I hear you believe, that this is just this is foundational. This is primal. Goldman used the right word when he titled his book, Primal Leadership. Mm-hmm. And so I find that the neuroscience can really capture people's attention. And then when you introduce behavioral practices that can help them make the change, they now have a science backing of why this works. And this can be really simple things. You know, in my days of teaching presentation, one of the hardest things in the world was to just get people to rehearse. And, you know, now we have neuroscience models that say, hey, here's why rehearsal works. And although, you know, in the past we've known 30 repetitions, 3,000 repetitions, whatever, there's something about when you can say that this has to do with the basal ganglia, and that's the part of the brain that really pays attention to repetition and then therefore codes it into the circuitry. It's somehow motivational for people. They go, oh, you know, I never considered it that way, but now we can actually see how that works and why that works, so maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's an attention getter. It's an attention getter.
Yeah.
Now that I got your attention, or now that this gets your attention, and you know that it's just not fluff, and as you said, a flavor of the month, or it's not just going down through the checklist and checking something off. This has real meaning to it. This has real value to it. This is talking about stuff that comes out of the brain. So now we really do have your attention. So is that how you incorporate the behavioral approach in your work?
That's how it would lead into the behavioral approach. I think the other thing about brain science as well is that it normalizes the idea that we do resist change and we do resist rehearsal and a lot of the things that can be problematic when you're trying to change. It's normal. It's okay. Part of the way the brain is structured to do that. And so when people know that, and they know that by, you know, really doing the work, it absolutely works to rehearse, to practice, to catch yourself thinking and make a different choice, to meditate, whatever it might be, they're more motivated to do it. And so it ties right into the behavioral aspects of coaching and training.
Okay, so that's where some of that, the old adage of practice makes perfect, or at least practice makes better. It may not make perfect, but it makes better.
Absolutely. And by doing something, you're laying down new neuronal pathways that creates that capability. One of the big discoveries about the brain, and this ties into different models of emotional intelligence or different instruments as well.
Okay.
One of the main things about the theory of emotional intelligence is that it has plasticity. You can change it just because you get a particular score and a particular component of emotional intelligence doesn't mean that's who you are. It's
exactly.
A little different from intelligence, IQ. And so they've also proven recently, somewhat recently anyway, that the brain is plastic. And so that we can make change by practicing new behaviors and literally laying down new roadways of thinking and response in the brain. It's
okay.
Curious because they say you can't really erase any of the old pathways, but you can build new roads that are strong enough to bypass the old behaviors. And
yeah.
so that in itself is very hopeful, and it fits perfectly with emotional intelligence, which is something that you can work on, give attention to, and change.
Yeah, I like that. That's that's really the part, you know, when I'm doing a workshop and I try to share with folks, you know, there's, I call it the knowing versus the doing, you know, or the 80-20, where 80% of the people may know about it, but 20% of the people only do something about it. And what we might want to do is see how we can increase those percentages. So I really, really like your approach to it. And I want to hear some more. So, but before we do that, we need to take another quick break. Can you stay with us? Maybe, let's say, another 10 minutes. I just want to do a quick break here and then come back and get some of your final thoughts. Is that okay?
Absolutely, sir. I'm having fun, so let's keep having some fun.
Okay, thanks. This is Dr. Hank and Let's Talk EI. We'll be right back after this.
It's time for more of Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's Dr. Hank.
And welcome back, and thanks for being with us. Steve has been an excellent guest for us today. I want everyone out there to know that. So, Steve, before you get into giving us all some more of the meat and stuff like that, I would be remiss if I did not give you an opportunity to share how folks can get in touch with you or reach you to maybe retain your services. Can you give us some information on that?
Absolutely. My website is whitefordresources.com. My direct email is swhiteford@austin.rr.com. And my telephone number is 512-892-3700.
You know, one of the things that I learned is that, you know, most of the time people listen to respond, not listen to understand. So if they were not listening to understand when you shared that, they may have been just simply listening to respond. So could you repeat it just in case they were listening to respond and not to understand?
Absolutely. Thank you. So, again, that's whitefordresources.com. And the email is swhiteford@austin.rr.com. And the telephone number is 512-892-3700.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, are you located in Austin, Texas?
Or I am. I've been here for about 9 years now, and it's a terrific city. It's a great place to visit.
How far is that, let's say, driving time from Houston?
It's about 2.5-3 hours. We're pretty equidistant from Houston and the Fort Worth, Dallas area.
Oh,
and we're
okay.
About an hour, hour and a half from San Antonio, depending on where you're going down there.
Okay, okay. We don't have a chapter in the Austin area. We have one in the Houston area. So I was just wondering, you know, in terms of the distance, because at one time we had a chapter that was kind of springing up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and then the leadership didn't work out because the individuals didn't feel they had the time to commit to that. And so that one faded, but we have one in the Houston area, but not Austin. But I just wanted to know.
That's good to hear. It's a little frustrating. I sometimes go down to Houston for an APTI meeting. That's the Association of Psychological Type, because we don't have one up here. And,
okay.
And yeah, I'm glad to hear there's one of your groups down in Houston. We'd love to have one up here too, probably, because a few years ago, I actually tried to get some people together to do that, and once again, leadership in that situation, which was not me, didn't really have that strong an interest in it. But I think it's wonderful for practitioners to have a forum where they can go and discuss their perspectives and learn and teach, and it's you know, ultimately, it's always a lot of fun to be with professionals who are interested in what you're interested in. So I think it's great that you've created this.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm not going to ask you to start a chapter in Austin. No, I'm not going to ask you to start a chapter in Austin. But I am going to ask you, we have our annual conference each year, and next year in October 23 and 24 is going to be our fifth annual conference here in Tampa, Florida. And all I ask is that you consider being a speaker at the conference.
I will definitely consider that. I was in Tampa once for training, gosh, probably 15, 20 years ago now, and I thought it was a beautiful city. So it would be a pleasure to go to Tampa again.
Yeah, we'll probably be coming out with a request for presenters or something like that in probably the next month or so. It usually comes out in January. But since I have you on the phone and on the air with 10,000 people.
My arm's hurting from the twisting, Dr. Hank. Please stop.
But I use the word consider. See, I use the word consider. So that gives us some flexibility, some what we call some wiggle room there, just in case, you know, the big client comes along and says, we need Steve on October 23rd and 24th, 2014. Well, in that case, obviously, the SOEI conference will have to wait, and I'd be more than happy if that was the case. So you have wiggle room there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about your coaching how does that work with the EQI and neuroscience and kind of tying all those things together?
Okay, well, hopefully I've given you some idea of how neuroscience ties into the whole thing. I really use the EQI 2.0 instrument. I don't know if we have time for me to run through the scales and the subscales, the content of the instrument, but do we?
No, we probably don't.
Okay, well,
We probably have about 10 minutes.
Well, the terminology may be somewhat easy to understand, but I think that the EQI 2.0 and all of its forms, and, you know, it has several forms. There's just the workplace form, which is the report that focuses on the individual, and it doesn't have to be workplace. It's just called that. And there's a leadership report that's very good. And there's also a 360, which is fantastic for coaching. And it really caught my attention when I was being certified in the 360. It just so happened at the same time I was being certified in Myers-Briggs, the personality instrument, the type, Myers-Briggs type indicator.
Right.
And I was a little taken aback by my 360 report when I did the emotional intelligence, because I was in a workplace situation where, you know, I wasn't extremely happy. But what showed up was that people I worked with perceived my empathy as being somewhat low.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, how'd that happen? Because I'm certainly aware of how other people are feeling, and I do care what's going on here. And so I had to take a look at that, and I think it's always good to experience this kind of instrumentation and the process yourself,
sure,
because it really drives it home.
Right.
And what I realized, first of all, I went around and talked to some of my cohorts and said, hey, you know, this kind of surprised me. How would you describe this? And they found me somewhat formal. And, you know, they said, you're a nice guy, but you just don't step across the line into, you know, strong interpersonal relationship a lot. And so I realized that I held a concept about the workplace, and that the workplace was supposed to be formal, and that in order to cross that line into interpersonal perception, because, you know, I could see that someone looked depressed that day, and my response to that would be, okay, well, just give them some distance.
Give them some room.
Yeah, if they want you to participate in that, they'll come and, you know, share what's going on with you. And it really taught me a lesson that in the workplace, a lot of people really do appreciate it if you step across that line. There's a scene from Aaron Brockenrich, which I love. I won't cuss on your show, but they're out interviewing a family that has been impacted by the pollution in California to see if they want to enter into a lawsuit with the electrical company out there, I believe. And the attorney is being very businesslike in his conversation, and it's really turning the family off. And Aaron Brockenrich in the movie turns to him, because at one point they say, would you stay and have a cup of coffee and some bundt cake? And he's like, no, I got to get back to work, which would be me. I always just like the birthday parties, and it's like, let's focus on getting stuff done. And she turns to him and says, you know, have the blanking cup of coffee. And I just thought that was a wonderful moment, because I learned that having the cup of coffee in the workplace is an extremely valuable thing to do.
Absolutely.
So seeing the scores from emotional intelligence reports, it just gives so much insight as to what's going on. I recently had a general manager who was pretty much functioning in that same way. And, you know, part of it was he was focused on the task, as we were talking about in the brain setup, that definitely can lower the expression of empathy. And coincidentally, he also had that concept that the workplace should be more formal. And so that made it easiest for us to identify what was going on and then build some behavioral practices to help him change that way that he was interacting with the people at work with him. Another report startled me because I saw how high a young man's emotional self-awareness was. And interestingly, his self-regard, what he thought of himself, showed up as being a pretty low score. But all of the emotional factors of his score, the things that we usually work on other people with, were in a very healthy range. And so when we had the conversation, also his impulse control was very high, which meant he was really clamping down on what he was aware of about his feelings. And after some healthy discussion, it was pretty clear that he was in the wrong culture, because he was naturally wired to express emotional intelligence and be open to the people that reported with him and his team, and to, you know, engage people and give them positive feedback and also get things done. But the particular culture that he was working in was very driven top down, and it was kind of, it was command and control. And so he was getting very negative feedback for his style from senior management. And he could have stayed there and, you know, tried to work through that, tried to show up in ways that they wanted him to, but he determined that the best thing he could do was go to a culture that would welcome all of the emotional intelligence that he had. And he decided to do that.
That's a fantastic example.
Other interesting things show up. It's just always fascinating. I had a woman whose profile I call Almost Perfect. I had met her before a year. I worked with her and, you know, liked her immediately, saw her extreme value to the organization immediately. And I thought, this is going to be a tough one, because I can't imagine this report showing me anything she'd need to work on. And what it ended up showing was that her stress tolerance was very high, and also her flexibility was very high. And through conversation, we identified that that was because she never said no. And so she was always taking things on, doing a great job with them. The other interesting thing was her interpersonal relationship was one of her lower scores, even though it was in a very healthy range. But that was because she didn't have time for it. And she told me something that was kind of funny. We both laughed about it. She said, "I'm so busy that I read my daughter's leadership books at night as their bedtime stories." And I love it. But, you know, so yeah. There you determined she really needed to cut back and start saying no and develop more of her personal life in a way that she would like to.
Thanks, so, Steve. That's very – and what I like about you being with us this morning, you were able to share some stories, some real-life examples of how EI shows up and how EI plays out, how the EQI 2.0, 2 and 360 enters into all of that. So one of the things that I want to do before we close is to, one, just really thank you for being our guest today, and really look forward to, you know, hearing more and seeing if I can have you back on at a later date, maybe talk some more and things like that. But before I say goodbye, can I just ask you to give me your info one more time so that folks, when they're picking up the broadcast and listening, they'll say, "Oh, if I want to catch up with Steve, here's all I need to do." What would that be?
Absolutely, sir. My website, once again, is whitefordresources.com. My direct email is swhiteford@austin.rr.com. And my telephone number is 512-892-3700. And I have to say, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you today. I'd love to come back at any time. And I'm so glad that you've created this forum. I think it'll be valuable for many people.
Thanks, Steve. And what I always do and say to everyone is to have an EI day. So go out and have an EI day, and I'll be talking to you at a later date, and certainly you can expect to get another invitation for the show.
Thank you. Have a good day, too.
All right. So, and this is Dr. Hank. Before we close, we have a few things that I'd like to share with you, some things that are going on within SOEI, within the chapters. Out there, we have quite a few chapters, a lot of activities going on with the different chapters. So I just wanted to alert you to some of those. The folks in the Tampa chapter, if you're listening, be alert. Look out for an email that might be coming out pretty soon that will be talking about the holiday social that should be happening before the first of the year. We've had some discussion and people saying, "Hey, let's get together for a holiday social." So the Tampa chapter is looking at hosting a holiday social. Also, the new Orlando chapter, and for those of you that haven't heard, and most of you haven't at this point, but we're developing a chapter in Orlando. Actually, we'll have two chapters sort of in that area. One is the Orlando chapter. And the chair for that Orlando chapter is Dr. Wanda Bonet Gasco. So you'll be hearing more on that. And then we have the Central Florida, which is Bob Jarris is the chair in that area. So the Orlando chapter, they want to do a nice kickoff event and have some sort of a social. So be on the lookout for information around that. As I mentioned about the conference, it was the best conference ever, and we're excited, so excited. We've already scheduled the 2014 conference, so mark your calendar for that. It's October 24th and 25th, and guess what? You can register right now for the October 24th, 25th conference for next year for only $99. Now, that's a special pricing. That special pricing will end November 29th. So if you're interested in attending the 2014 conference, which will be October 24th and 25th, you can register for that right now for just $99. Special pricing, that special pricing will end on November 29th. I want to mention a couple of other events that's coming up. We have the EQI certification in Orlando on December 13 and 14. So there's still a couple of seats left for that. So if you haven't registered and you're interested in getting certified in the EQI 2.0 360, you can go to the website societyofei.org, go to the EQI page, scroll down, and you can register for the upcoming conference, the upcoming workshop on that. I think most of you that are listening heard Steve share his thoughts about the value of using that tool, the EQI 2.0. Fantastic tool. It's a great tool to, if you're a coach or if you're an instructor or trainer, teacher, and want to get some idea on a starting point with a client, use the EQI 2.0. So certification in that coming up December 13 and 14 in Orlando. What else? Oh, yes. We'll be kicking off the Society of Emotional Intelligence, that is. We'll be kicking off its EI initiative with the Hospitality Management Program at Tuskegee University by year end. And when I use the term by year end, we've already got an agreement and everything. So what we're looking at doing with that group is, one, they have a hospitality management program, and we will be using the EQI Higher Ed Report to help students develop their skills that are interested in going into the hospitality or restaurant or private club business. I think most of us agree that whenever we go to a hotel or a restaurant, we are always impressed with the service we receive, and or we always make our determination on whether we return based on the service that we receive. And a number of reports have come out that shows that people make their decision on the hotel that they attend or stay at or the restaurant that they go to based on the service, and the service translates to emotional intelligence. So our first project is with Tuskegee University and the Hospitality Management Program by helping students develop their EI so that when they graduate, all of the big hotels, restaurant chains, and things like that will be knocking on their door. We're also looking at developing a student chapter, our first student chapter. We're having a meeting of interest at Argosy University here in the Tampa, Florida area to talk about a student chapter. Now, we've already heard from them that, you know, students are interested, but it's always important to have some discussion around that. So we'll be doing that next week, I believe it is. So everything is really looking good. We're having a great time. We're growing and developing. We're looking for someone who's interested in being the chair or at least being involved in the New York chapter. So reach out and send me an email if you're in the New York area and you want to get involved with the New York chapter. But, oh, yes, and the same thing in Cleveland, Ohio. If you're looking at getting involved in starting a chapter in the Cleveland, Ohio area, please send me an email, okay? Thanks, everyone. I really appreciate your listening in today, hanging in there with us, and spending time with Steve and me. This is Dr. Hank of Let's Talk EI saying thanks for being with us today, and have an EI day.